Thank you that we have it in a language that we can understand. Thank you, Lord, that you still speak to us through your word. So, Lord, open our hearts this morning that we might listen to you, that we might respond to you and understand what you want to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder if you've ever heard these words. Just wait till your dad comes home. Or maybe it was, just wait till your mum comes home. Or maybe you've said it yourself. Or maybe it was at work, oh, wait till the boss sees that. Or maybe it was at school, oh, wait till I see your parents. Because very often people want to be able to appeal to someone else who has authority by their status or by their character. Hopefully not bullying. But there are times when maybe as a last resort, we have to appeal to someone in authority for help, or maybe just because their authority means much more than our own. And even though perhaps in today's society we don't want authority, there's a kick against authority, there are people who have authority over us. Let's have a look at some of them. We've got the police, of course, and then we've got teachers. And a judge, if you go before a judge word is what counts, and of course a parent here as well. So what kind of authority was it that Jesus had? How do we see it in action? And what does it have to say to you and me today? And we're going to look not just at the passage that we've read, which I hope you've got open at page 64, but we're going to refer a little bit back to the last 2 weeks. I hope you were here, and if not, maybe you've done it in home group. But we've got some key verses with regard to Jesus' authority. So if you would just look at chapter 4 and verse 17. I'll have the next slide, thank you. It says, doesn't it, that Jesus had authority in reading the scripture. He read it. But as it was his own words, which of course it is, he told them at that moment as he was reading it, this prophecy from Isaiah has come true today. And as he did so, he is using his own authority, the authority of the Word of God, because we're here in Genesis that Jesus is the Word of God. He wrote it with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, and so it has his authority. And as he read it, it says this. Next slide, please. All eyes were fixed on Jesus, and they marveled at his words. It wasn't just like anybody else reading the scriptures. It was very different. Because in the synagogues, there would be perhaps 7 or 8 people who would read the scriptures when they met together. The reading of scriptures was important. They didn't have a special person to do it. It could be anybody there. And then each week they didn't have a minister, so they would ask someone, perhaps a visitor or a distinguished person, to explain about the scriptures. And this is what Jesus did. And that's why he often went to the synagogue, because he had the opportunity, just like Paul did. Paul knew too that when he went to the synagogue, there would be that opportunity for him to speak. So Jesus had authority by his word and their understanding. So he not only read the word, but he exercised that word as well. So let's just go back to chapter 5 for a moment. And here we have the fishermen, big burly men who knew the lake well. They knew it because their fathers were also in the fishing business. And as young boys, they would have been involved in it. It was their livelihood. And so you can imagine, there they all were. And they'd been out all night fishing. Now, I have a son. Well, I have 2 sons, but one of them especially is very keen on fishing. And there's nothing worse than a fisherman who comes back and doesn't catch any fish. Especially when you go to France for a week and one of you has not caught anything, which is what's happened. So they are very discouraged when that kind of thing happens. And these fishermen on the Lake of Galilee, they would have been discouraged. They would have been thinking, oh, heck, we've got nothing after working all night. and they probably didn't want to talk about it. But in this event that happened that we read about in chapter 5, we see Jesus, not a fisherman, a carpenter by trade, he's telling them how to fish. Now, I wonder if you're doing something that you're really good at. I don't know what that might be, maybe playing percussion or whatever, and somebody comes along who knows nothing about percussion, and they say, I've got Andrea here, that's why I'm saying percussion. So if somebody comes along and says, Andrea, you're doing it all wrong, do it like this. Or put yourself in that position. Can you imagine how they would feel? So we've got here, is it the experience of a fisherman or is it the word of a carpenter? And yet Peter says, I will let down the nets because of your word. At your word. Peter takes Jesus at his word. He knows that Peter's not a fisherman. He's only just begun to follow him. And yet he is able to say, your word has authority. So at your word, we'll do what you say and we will put down our nets. And what happened? They got lots of fish. That is actually a picture from Galilee. Not, of course, Peter, but a slide there to show they can catch a big haul of fish at any one time. So, yes, Jesus was a carpenter by trade, but as the Son of God, he has an authority over fish. In fact, Jesus has authority over all our work. Whether you are, there is a result there, so whether you are a teacher, what will that mean if you allow Jesus to have authority over you and your work in the classroom? Well, it would mean a calm classroom, happy children who achieve well. What would it mean if you're in business? Well, it would mean that your profits enable you to pay your employees, or a lawyer, that you're successful in your cases. Or what else might you be? A health visitor. It will mean that you help your patients or whatever. So if you're an IT person, I've no idea what that might mean, so I haven't used that one. But Jesus' word is a word of power. Jesus shows that he cares for our everyday routines, our day-to-day activities. But do we let him? Do we acknowledge him? Do we ask him for help and guidance with that difficult case, with that distraught parent, that boring housework? I had a lovely conversation with someone recently from our congregation, and she described how she and God had had a wonderful day together as she was cleaning the house. She said, we were just talking together all day, she said, and at the end of it, I knew what I should do next. Well, do we allow that? Do we allow Jesus into the office or into our study or into our classroom or into our ward? Or do we, as it were, have a sign at the door that says, this is my domain, thank you. I'm the one who knows how to teach, or I'm the one who knows how to be a lawyer or whatever. I hope not. The fishermen would have really missed out if they hadn't listened to Jesus and allowed his word to penetrate their working life. Let us also do that in our day-to-day routines that sometimes seem boring, sometimes can seem mundane. But when we allow Jesus into them, life gets exciting. We need to ask him, we need to talk to him. We call it prayer, but it's talking to him, having that relationship with him. Peter recognized his need to talk to Jesus. And actually, you know, it's like having the best consultant ever. Sometimes when I was working in schools, we would have consultants come in and give us their expertise. It wasn't always very expertise, but there we go. But it's like, for us, when we've got Jesus there with us in our work, it's like having the best consultant ever. Because Jesus knows how to deal with that difficult parent. Or Jesus knows about this case that you're working on. or how to help this patient in hospital, or whatever it is. So we need to allow Jesus into our everyday activities. And so we see next that Jesus then had authority over people and their future. So when Jesus called, they followed. And he gave them right away, he said to them, I will make you fishers of men. I just like that phraseology better than in here. It is, isn't it? Is that great? What he's saying to Peter and John is, when you follow me, I've got your future sorted. You've got a purpose in life, a plan for your life. And with me, we'll follow it together. And isn't that great that Jesus can do that? You see, so many people today have no purpose. Why am I here on earth? What am I doing? They don't know what's going to happen next week, next month, next year. But the great thing is that for us who know Jesus, we know that our future is in his hands. We know that we've got a purpose to live because we're living with Jesus. We're working with him. And we're assured of our future. We don't need to fret because he knows. He knows what's best for us. And he will guide us. As David said, David the shepherd boy, those famous words in Psalm 23. The Lord guides me in green pastures. He will guide you in the best way, the best path for your career. And then we see that Jesus has authority over sickness. And we hear and see here and had read to us this wonderful story of the healing of the leper. But I want you to note something more than just another healing. This is more than that. This is healing of body, mind, and relationships. Why do I say this? Surely it was just another healing. No. Having leprosy had serious and does psychological consequences. My children were born in a hospital where they had a leprosy annex, a Christian one. So I've seen lots of people with leprosy. But it has serious psychological consequences as well as the physical. The physical because they lose the nerve endings and they end up with deformities. Deformities of the face, the hands and the feet especially. And some of them are not nice to look at because of that. And people don't want to go near them. And then people think they're going to catch it from them as well. And so they want to keep them apart. And so they become outcasts. And they're in mental torment. And along with that mental torment, they have the shame. They shouldn't have, but they have the shame and the horror of it all. They have a sense of guilt. Can you imagine being in that position? Shunned by everyone, even your family and friends and society. They were called the untouchables. And many came to hate themselves and actually committed suicide. Leprosy meant that people had no relationships. They were cut off from their families. I don't know if you've ever read any of Victoria Hislop's book. She's got written a great book about. It's called The Island off Greece, and it's where all the lepers were sent. And if you read that, it gives you something of the sense of what it was like. Children were sent who had it, just cut off from family forever. Can you imagine that? So put yourself now in the position of this leper, an untouchable, disfigured, in mental torment, and no relationships with family or friends. And this is what happens. Jesus reaches out and touches him. Can you imagine how that felt? This man of God that the leper called Lord touched him. And as he did, his flesh was revitalized. His life was changed. He has renewed contact with fellow human beings. He can look forward to a reunion with family and friends. His mental torment is finished. This is the authority of Jesus. You might not be a leper, but we all need Jesus to heal us in body, mind, and spirit, and to reconcile us where relationships have broken down. Jesus has the authority to do this. Do we come to him knowing that he's the authority to do it, and like the leper, call out, "Lord, Lord, help me"? Because the leper saw Jesus as one with authority. He dared to call him Lord. He dared to bow down before him, even to the horror of those who watched around him. But he didn't care. He didn't care what other people thought, the leper, because he knew that Jesus had that authority. And you know, sometimes we care too much about what other people think. But no, not the leper. He allowed the authority of Jesus, by his word, by his touch, to heal him completely and to make him whole. Jesus has the same compassion on you and me. He wants to show his authority in your life and my life. He wants to heal us where we've got need healing, whether it's mental or physical, whatever, and to bring about reconciliation where we have problems with relationships. And then finally, as we saw last week again, I'll have the next slide, thank you. Jesus has authority over the devil and demons. In the temptations that we looked at 2 weeks ago, Alid said, it was like a boxing match between the devil and Jesus. Jesus was tempted, not as we are tempted in one sense, but he was tempted as the Son of God. If you are the Son of God. Chapter 4, if you want to look it up. Chapter 4, verse 13. What happens? The devil, when Jesus will have none of it, the devil was defeated, and try as he might, the devil, as it were, left with his tail between his legs. You see, the demons often try to cause a disturbance. We see it too during Paul's ministry, actually. They cause a disturbance to what Jesus is doing. If you have chapter 4, just have a look at verse 36. It says, "For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and out they come." Isn't that wonderful? That Jesus would not allow them to disturb what he was doing. They were silenced, and the people were released. Jesus has authority over all things. I'll have the next one, please. He says this, doesn't he, in Matthew, the end of Matthew's gospel. All power and authority belong to our God. So all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Matthew 28. Jesus is the one who has authority by his word, by the fact that he is divine, by what he did, by his actions, by touch. And not even the fallen angels can compare to him. All authority belongs to Jesus. What a relief that is. Because we can trust in his authority. We don't need someone. We can go to him whenever we want and wherever we are. We can invite Jesus to be our authority and to live under his authority. Under his word, the word of God. But often we want to do it alone. We want to do it my way. I always think it's rather sad at a funeral when they choose, which often they do, Frank Sinatra's My Way. We don't want to do it our way. We want to do it God's way. And so we need to allow his authority in our hearts and minds. He is all powerful. We don't need to fear, because he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. So for me, it's a relief that I can say, Jesus, he is our highest authority for our help, for our advice, for our guidance. But it is a challenge. Do we live under the authority of Jesus? Not just today when we're together in church, but what about tomorrow? What about when we go to the golf club? Or when we practice in our music with a group of friends? Or when we meet in socially? Or when we see our neighbours? Are we truly living under the authority of Jesus? Because if we are going to respond to him like Peter and John did when he says, come, follow me, that's what we need to do, to acknowledge him each and every day. Maybe the first thing that we do, we say to Jesus, thank you, Jesus, you are my Lord. I give this day to you. Walk with me in it. Amen.
Well, our next song.